Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 3, entitled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, text number 9, which has no purport. So I will just read it, and then we'll do 10 together. Tasva patyanya ajanaya ratma tulyani saravata ekaikasyam dasha dasha prakritir vibhubhushaya. Just to expand himself according to his transcendental features, the Lord begot in each and every one of them 10 offspring with exactly his own qualities. Text number 10. Please repeat. Kala magada salvadin. Kala magada salvadin. Anakairundata puram. Anikairudata puram. Ajiganat swayam divyam. Ajiganat swayam divyam. Sapung sang teja adishat. Sapung sang teja adishat. Kala magada salvadin. Anikaruda dapuram. Ajiganat swayam divyam. Sapung sang teja adishat. Kala magadha shalvadin anika rudatak puram Sapung sang teja adishat. Kalamagadha shalvadim. Anikai rudatak puram. Ajighanat swayam divyam. Sapung sang teja adishat. Ladies, Pungsang Dijadishat Kalamagada Shalvadim. Anakai rudatak puram. Ajighanat swayam divyam. Adisha. Kalamagada shalvadim. Anakai rudatak puram. Ajighanat swayam divyam. Sapung sang teja adishat kala Kalayavana Magadha, the king of Magadha, Jarasandha. Shalva, king Shalva. Adin and others. Anikai, by the soldiers. Rundhata, being encircled. Puram, the city of Mathura. Ajaganath, killed. Swayam, personally. Divyam, transcendental. Sapungsang, of his own men. Teja, prowess. Adishat, exhibited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kalyavana, the king of Magadha, and Shalva attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of His own men. Purport. After the death of Kamsa, when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers of Kalyavana and Jarasandha and Shalva, the Lord seemingly fled from the city, and thus He is known as Ranchor, or one who fled from fighting. Actually, the fact was that the Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of His own men, devotees like Muchakunda and Bhima. Kalyavana and the king of Magadha were killed by Muchakunda and Bhima respectively, who acted as agents of the Lord. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of His devotees, as if He were personally unable to fight, but His devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with His devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide the share of glory, He sometimes engaged His devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord Himself. But just to give credit to His devotee, Arjuna, nimitta matram bhavyasya visachin, He played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What He wants to do Himself by His transcendental plans, He executes through His confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards His pure, unalloyed devotees. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jaini Tasmai Sri Girvainama. Lukam Guru Devachalam Pangam Langayate Girim. Adkipita Mahamande Sigurum Dinatarnam. Paramananda Maharabam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So certainly Krishna is up for a good fight. Even when He was just a young boy, when He entered into the arena of Kamsa, just prior to dealing with Mushtika and Chanura, He and Balaram tightened their belt. They were ready to get it on. So Krishna is always up for a good fight, as in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, there are so many nice descriptions which are given, and Srila Prabhupada has elaborated on so nicely in his Krishna book, that Krishna didn't shy away from a fighting, whether it was with Kaliya or Dainukasura, or it was one person after another, Banasura, even later on. He became, he was quite engaged fighting these demoniac persons. So it's not that as a certainly as an example, But it's not that as a devotee even, we don't give up a fight when we're called upon. Just as here Prabhupada points out that Arjuna was given credit for fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra and being victorious. So Krishna certainly wants a fight. He's ready. He's ready, more than willing. But he's also inclined to his devotees, and his devotees are prepared to step up and do the necessary when the time comes. And certainly we all have experienced that there have been certain challenges in our execution of devotional service that sometimes seem impossible. But when taking shelter of the spiritual master and Lord Krishna, the devotees come out victorious. Srila Prabhupada, even by his own example, would sometimes allow his disciples to give a class as he would sit there and he would listen. And sometimes they would lead kirtan, or they would be having interactions with different dignitaries and appreciated the effort that was exhibited by those devotees. So just as Krishna appreciates when his devotees make an effort to spread Krishna consciousness, to execute Krishna consciousness, Krishna reciprocates. Just as the spiritual master, when we make an effort to execute the process of Krishna consciousness, although it may be very challenging, certainly is challenging, but with the order comes the potency. With the order comes the ability, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that he's the ability in man. If we really, really desire, then Krishna will give us the ability, the strength and intelligence to be successful. Just again, as the order of the spiritual masters there, Srila Prabhupada gave so many orders to his disciples and his followers, not just his direct disciples, but all of us. He's given us directives to go out and spread Krishna consciousness and make it available and share it in whatever way we're able to. And he's devised so many plans for us to engage the conditioned souls, whether it be through book distribution or prasadam distribution or harinam or deity worship or personal association. There's so many different wonderful ways that Srila Prabhupada has made Krishna consciousness available. And when that effort is made, one becomes successful. In this case here, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out the story of these different demons that the Lord had to confront. Kaliyavana, Jarasandha, and Shalva. And came out victorious. In the case of Kaliyavana, Kaliyavana had never seen Krishna before. He'd heard of him, but he'd never seen him before. He heard about his different qualities from Narada Muni. He actually asked when he was born. He was the son of Muni Garga. Garga and then Muni. Not the Garga Muni, but Rishi, but Garga Muni. And he, when he was born, Garga had been offended by the Yadavas. They had been making some jokes. And he got disturbed by their joking. And he vowed that he would produce a son who would give trouble to the Yadavas. And so he had this son, Kalyavana. And when Kalyavana was born, he immediately was, you know, very aggressive, and he was looking for a fight. And he inquired from Narada Muni, "Is there, who are the most powerful kings?" And Narada Muni said, "Oh, you have to go to the Yadavas. They're the most powerful, Krishna and Balaram." So he immediately went to Mathura with his army. Srila Prabhupada describes that. I think he had some 30, or was it 90 million Yavanas? Can you imagine an army of 90 million? Sometimes the governments of the day are so proud of their little rockets, and they have these soldiers who walk like robots, and they may have 100,000, or they may have more, and they pride themselves in being strong and powerful. But to have an army of 30 million or 90 million, we can't imagine. That's like all of Los Angeles, isn't it? 30 million? I think there, or all of California is about 40 million only. So almost all of California, can you imagine that being an army, somebody's army? It's unimaginable. But so Kalyavana, he went to Mathura looking for the Yadavas, and he was going to fight. So he'd never seen, but he heard about Krishna. So when the Lord Krishna and Balaram were there in Mathura, and they saw that this army was approaching, Krishna came out of the fort. And when Kalyavana saw Krishna, he immediately could appreciate, who is this effulgent person who's wearing such a wonderful yellow cloth and who's bedecked with jewels and who had Srivatsa on his chest, Kastuba, who's garlanded with beautiful lotus flowers. And he's walking in the midst of our soldiers, my army. He comes just walking out. And he has no arms. No armaments. Of course, he had, it's described, he saw him in the Vishnu form, so he had four arms. And he came out of the palace. And he's just walking in the midst of the army, and Kalyavana was ready to fight, but he was astonished to see this person and how he's just simply walking in the midst of in the middle of my army. So he thought, okay, well, we're going to fight. Let's fight. He doesn't have any armaments, so we're going to fight by hand. Hand-to-hand combat. Okay? And so he begins to walk after the Lord, wanting to capture him. And as he's walking faster and faster, and still he can't gain any ground on Krishna. Krishna's walking off into the distance, and he's starts walking, then he starts running. And can you imagine? Oh, just incredible that Krishna is simply walking casually, and Kalyavana, he's running after him. and he can't gain any ground. And so finally Krishna goes into a cave, and we all know the story and how he goes into the cave, he and Kalyavana follows, Krishna disappears from the scene. And Kalyavana thinks that what is this body that's lying there? It must be, why is Krishna running away like this? And he begins to rebuke him. But he sees this body and he decides to go up to the body and he kicks it. And lo and behold, Muchakunda, who was there by a benediction of the demigods, he was a very powerful Kshatriya. He was the son of, Manidhar? Mandatta. He was the son of Mandatta. And he fought. He was a very powerful king, and he had fought for the demigods for thousands of years. And finally, after defeating the demons, he was approached by Kartikeya that you should take a break. You must be very tired. What kind of benediction can we offer you? You've been so helpful. You've been fighting so long, actually, that your family, your kingdom, everyone has already passed away. They've perished. There's no one around. You had fought for so many years. Hundreds and thousands of years, actually. Was it 1,000 years? Anyway, it was for a long period of time, to the point where everyone had passed away. There was no one there. So he was being offered by Kartikeya, can we give you something as appreciation? And he said, well, I'm very, very tired. I just need to rest. So give me the benediction that I be able to rest. And should anyone wake me prematurely, that I'll be able to burn them with my eyes, with my eyesight. So the demigods were very happy to do that, and he was given this benediction that he could rest and stay in this cave. And then Kalyavana comes in and wakes him up, and then Muchakunda wakes up and burns Kalyavana on the spot. And then the Lord reappears, and Muchakunda begins to offer some very, very wonderful prayers, which Srila Prabhupada gives in this story in the Krishna book. There are so many wonderful prayers in exchange that the Lord and Muchakunda have. And the Lord asks him, what kind of benediction can I give you? And Muchakunda offers some very, again, very nice, pleasing glorifications of the Lord, and ends with saying that, actually, I don't want anything. I just want your devotional service. And just to back up a little bit, it was interesting how Prabhupada comments that when Kalyavana was chasing after the Lord, he was running after him. And he couldn't gain any ground. And Prabhupada explains that it's compared to the yogis who, with so many yogic powers and with their yogic accomplishments, they may try to understand and approach the Lord, but they can never understand, or they can never approach the Lord. Pantas tu koti satavat sarasam ragamyo vayoratapi manasamuni pungavanam. Lord Brahma also explains that in the Brahma Sanghita, that the yogis, the munis, the mystics, they may travel at the speed of mind or speed of wind for thousands of years, and yet they can only reach the effulgence which is emanating from the toenails of the Lord. What to speak of some mundane person like Kalyavana or so many others in this material world? How can they hope to achieve or approach the Supreme Lord by their teeny powers, by their teeny accomplishments? So Muchukunda had no interest in anything but a devotional service. And the Lord was pleased by his answer that he didn't want anything. The Lord was so pleased that he benedicted him by saying, okay, so you just engage in devotional service. And because you were a Kshatriya, you engaged in so many violent and sinful things. Certainly as a Kshatriya, the Kshatriyas are killing animals and performing sacrifices. And so there are so many sinful reactions that may occur. So you just engage in devotional service. And at the end of this lifetime, you'll be given liberation or the pure devotional service. So he was so happy with that, that he went off to Badrik Ashram. If anyone's ever been to Badrinath, it's such a beautiful place. It's nestled in a little valley with gigantic snow caps all around. There's beautiful ashram there where Srila Vyasadeva, a cave where Vyasadeva is instructing to this day Shukadeva Goswami. And you go a little bit further where Bhimasen left his body. And the Saraswati's going through the river, and then you go to the beautiful temple where Badri Narayan is. It's such a glorious place. So Muchukunda went to this place and performed his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada also describes the killing of Jarasandha, and we know how that occurred with Bhimasen, and then he killed Shalva himself. So it's not that the Lord doesn't engage in a fight. Certainly, he's ready. But he also wants to give credit to his devotees for their efforts as well. Just as here, again, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out how Arjuna is being given credit for his effort. So the effort has to be there. And of course, Krishna, he gives us mercy if we make that effort, right? Tesham evanu kam partam aham agyana jang tama. Krishna, to show his mercy, as Prabhupada points out here, that is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his pure, unalloyed devotees. That he wants to do it himself by his transcendental plans, but he executes it through his confidential devotees. So that's the mercy of the Lord. He wants to accomplish a lot of things, certainly. He wants to bring back the conditioned souls, those who are rotting in this material world. So he makes all sorts of plans, and then he empowers those. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Parvartana. He gives the potency to those who sincerely want to engage in his service, who are sincere about following the Lord's plan and contributing. Just as in the Krishna consciousness movement, it's incumbent upon us to want to contribute to the preaching movement, the preaching service. So we have so many devotees who are engaged in taking care of the deities or making prasadam or maintaining the temple or going out and distributing and engaging and encouraging and touching the conditioned souls who are out there who are rotting, waiting for someone to go out there and touch them with the process of devotional service. They're just waiting. We are hearing so many wonderful stories and accounts of these Sankirtan devotees who go out and preach and all of the wonderful exchanges they have with the conditioned souls, those persons who are just waiting for someone to come and touch them. and give them a chance. Give them a chance to make something of their lives, which have been shallow and empty and full of darkness for the most part. So, again, the Lord, He wants us and He encourages us. He explains in the Brahma Sanghita, there's a beautiful verse, Aham hi vishvasya chara charasya, right? Bijam pradanam prakriti pumangscha. Maya hitam teja idam vibarshi videi videi tomato jaganti videi videi brahma sanghitam sampurnam. He tells Vidhi, Lord Brahma, that I am the seed and fundamental principle. Krishna is the seed-giving father, right? Aham bija prajapita. He's the seed-giving father. And He's the pradhan. He's the prakriti. He's the purusha. And He's the energy which is there within the ability of the conditioned soul or the jiva to engage in His in some service, as He says again in Bhagavad Gita, that He's the ability in man. So He's that fiery nature which is there in Vidhi to control and create this phenomenal world. The question is, what are we going to do with it when we get it? Krishna's there. He's willing to give us that ability. But the question is, what are we going to do with it when we get it? Vidhi, or Lord Brahma, was eager to engage in the Lord's service. And by that eagerness, that fire of desire for execution of devotional service, for the executing of His service, allowed Him to create this phenomenal world. So the ability is there, the potency is there, the prakriti is there. We just need to want to engage. It's a wonderful purport how Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna can do everything He wants to get done. He doesn't need anything. But for our benefit, He gives us this wonderful facility. He gives us the ability and the opportunity. So what are we going to do with it? Srila Prabhupada has given us so much. Krishna has given us so much here in this world. So what are we going to do with it? That is the question. And that is what we need to meditate on. So we'll end there. Any questions or comments? Ananda Kirtan.
Hare Krishna. We hear that devotional service is not dependent on material conditions. But I'm just wondering, you were just talking about like empowerment and devotees being enthusiastic to preach. Why is it that two devotees can have equal enthusiasm, equal inspiration, you know, more or less equal, and determination to spread the movement, but Krishna may empower one devotee to do externally more and have bigger results than the other devotee, even though they're both equally determined, equally surrendered?
Well, I would question, how can you determine who's equally surrendered?
Well, I'm just thinking of two specific devotees in my mind that I know personally, right, that are very, that their whole life is just book distribution.
Right.
But one is like getting results that are bigger than the other person.
Yeah, one's doing 100 books, the other one's doing one book. But that's Krishna. Krishna knows. Krishna knows what's in our heart. Those 100 books, in his mind, is the same as the one book. In his affection and relationship, we can't make a judgment on that. But we can certainly we can know that Krishna is equal to everyone. He says that in Bhagavad Gita, that his main attraction is our love and devotion. So what's in the heart of the 100 book person and the compared to the one book person, we can't make that judgment. Only Krishna knows. But Krishna also is testing at the same time. He's testing the one book person and he's testing the 100 book person. Maybe due to some past, we don't know. The 100 book person is doing 100 books this lifetime. And in the last lifetime, the one book person did 1,000 books. We can't make that judgment. But we can understand that by engaging in devotional service, Krishna is seeing all of us as equal servants. And whether it's doing books or whether it's doing, one pujari is better than the other pujari. He knows how to offer the incense better or dress better. We can't make that determination. But we can for sure understand that by engaging in devotional service, Krishna is pleased with everyone. And he's giving everyone equally his mercy. That would be my answer. And it's not necessarily the fact that somebody who's giving doing one book is and one who's giving 100 books is happier in their devotional life. There are many professionals. There's many professionals who can make a lot of money, and someone else who can only collect $1 out on Harinam. We can't make that judgment. That is between Krishna and that jiva. Archisa really wants to say something.
Just on this particular point, Prabhupada would use the example of the Ramayana, that you don't judge by victory. Like Hanuman is celebrated because he jumped over to Lanka and he killed so many of them. Whereas Jatayu, he was defeated immediately. He saw Ravana taking Sita and said, "Who are you to take my Sita, worshipable Mother Sita?" He attacked Ravana. He was killed instantly. His wings got cut off. So he had no victory, nothing. But Lord Rama is so pleased that he came and did his funeral rites. So we can't judge again by the external. And in terms of preaching, Prabhupada used his own case. He said, "We're not after millions of stars. We want to make one moon." Because at the same time Prabhupada was preaching, so many others came from India. And they made hundreds of thousands of followers and raised millions and millions of dollars and built so many big buildings, etc., etc. So, but Prabhupada said, you don't judge by that. We don't judge by how many followers you have or how much money you have in the bank. We judge by how many pure devotees do you create.
Yeah.
So that's how you judge a devotee's preaching. So that one book person may go out and make one person who becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, whereas a 100 book person, maybe not even one devotee in that lifetime. You don't know. So you can't judge by the results.
Yeah.
So Krishna says, don't consider defeat or victory. Just go out and serve me.
The externals may be they're both enthusiastic like anything, and they're equal in every sense of the word. Right, same height, build, technique. I mean, I have personal experience. I went out going with different devotees who are no longer here with us, but I would try to imitate what they were trying to do. I was standing next to them. I wear the same clothes, hold bag in the same way. And they were doing so much, and I couldn't do anything. So it's we can't make that kind of determination. But Krishna knows. And like Archita Prabhu was pointing out, that one book may produce the Mahabhagavat. We don't know. Those 100 books may be in the trash. We don't know. That is between Krishna and the jivas. Shampriya Madhuri. Yeah, he's got to come down here to get it on a little bit. Silvas Prabhu.
Very interesting on this. We're talking about this topic of book distribution. And I have to say that my own personal experience in Krishna consciousness was such that I was walking down the street with my older brother. A person came up to us, distributed a Krishna book to us. And so we took it, gave him a donation. He told us, come to the temple. So we went to the temple, and we were looking for him. And then the devotee that met us at the front door of the temple in Denver, he said to us, well, we're sorry, Bhakti such and such got kicked out because he was smoking marijuana in Tulsi House. So he's no longer with us. But then here it is, I'm here, 48, 49 years later. So this idea of one book to one individual, you don't know what it's doing. So I think I'm an example of that one.
Yeah.
Per.
Yeah. Such a tonight, Prabhu?
But there is.
No. I knew you were going to say that in Bombay. You're just first thing that came to my mind. One more, Prem Sankirtan, I think, and that's it. Well, Prabhupada gives that same explanation in in that story of Muchukunda that he had been engaged as a Kshatriya, but he had a desire to engage in devotional service. So the Lord told him that, okay, what you need to do is you go to Bhadrik Ashram and you engage in a devotional service. And because your desire is there, if you engage in that service, then you'll develop the attraction and that perfection in devotional service. So bhakti has to be there, but shakti has to be there as well. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.